Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Salt and pepper and heavy D up in the limousine, hanging pictures on my wall. Yo. Okay, so y'all gonna make me do this every time just to get my car back?
Jhené, we're not making you do anything in this spot right now. It's Jhené and Gola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Yes, you are.
We're just merely
y'all are cruel
playing the receipts from yesterday.
Mean people. Mean people.
No, you know what, Jhené? We just want to support you because, again, you're very giving. You want to sing on this show all the time. You've got a great voice. We've had Sammy in the Jets that's now turned into Harden in the Nets, that's now turned into Sala in the Jets. Nope.
All right. Hell no.
She is withholding her services as a singer on this show. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline right now. We got plenty coming your way. Divisional round of the NFL is always such a fun weekend. And coming off the expanded Super Wild Card weekend, it's got a tall task on here. We'll dive inside the matchup that everyone's looking forward to. As Jhené said, the History Channel matchup between Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Two all-time quarterbacks squaring off for the first and probably the last time. Who's got more at stake going into this matchup and what the matchups from earlier this season can tell us about that? We'll dive into everything you need to feel ready for that game in about 10 minutes. But Jhené, we talked so much about the NFL hirings that have gone on. Robert Saleh and the New York Jets, Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars, and now we have the news just broken. The Atlanta Falcons' own Twitter feed welcomes Arthur Smith, the former Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator, as their new head coach. So another opening down, Jhené. We've got the Texans, Eagles, Lions, and Chargers remaining right now. But for everyone that's watched this Titans offense for the last few years, Jhené, the tip of the iceberg on things to be excited about with this hire would be that single-handedly almost, this Titans roster, this Titans team and coaching staff have turned Ryan Tannehill into a bona fide NFL quarterback, a guy who they paid and feel good about it on the other side because of the way this offense has been structured.
Yeah, the evolution and the maturation of that offense is really fascinating. Obviously, Derrick Henry, that makes your job a lot easier, but to balance that out and allow Ryan Tannehill to also have great numbers, I think that's really impressive. And, you know, it's funny because when we look through his experience as a coach, he served as obviously the offensive coordinator for the Titans the past two seasons. But some of his experience include defensive quality control coach, and then also offensive line assistant and tight ends coach. So when you're the Atlanta Falcons and you're trying to find identity or someone that at least has a breadth of knowledge on multiple areas, I feel like this is the reason why they probably saw him as more attractive.
Now, what can he do on the overall front? Because you're right, Jhené, he's worn a lot of hats in there, which to me is always a great background, and a lot of coaches come up getting to do that. And so you've touched a part of every team, but it can be about something even bigger than that. Ryan Clark, our ESPN NFL analyst, mentioned the C word, culture, inside the building that they've got to change there in Atlanta.
I think he can't have success. There's absolutely talent on this Atlanta Falcons offense, but it's not just about getting them going. It's about them learning to finish football games. This is a team that we all know how the jokes start rolling in the second half when they have leads. Up 28-3 is something we will always talk about. Arthur Smith has to delegate. He has to find ways to make sure this team understands how to finish. So it's not only about the offense, it's about what he can do as the chief of staff, not just the play caller.
And Jhené, I think part of it, though, is still what he's going to bring as a play caller, because he's got to have, no doubt, that CEO mindset with all of this. But part of the thing that was always frustrating in Atlanta, in addition to critical errors and critical moments, was the fact that Dan Quinn was brought over there as someone to bring some of that Seattle defensive swagger to Atlanta that never really arrived with this team. This team instead was dominant when Matt Ryan and that offense were running Kyle Shanahan's play action. A lot of play action in this offense. Now welcomes in an offensive coordinator, now their head coach, whose team was second in yards per playoff play action this year for Tennessee.
Why did you have to do that to Atlanta and remind them of critical moments and how they have literally dropped the ball? That was shady.
They live with that every day, Jhené. I can't hurt them. They're already dead inside.
It is true, but I digress, because I think the bigger conversation now is, where do we stand? The New York Jets, the Atlanta Falcons, the Jacksonville Jaguars all have their new leaders at the helm. What does that leave? The Houston Texans, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Detroit Lions, and the Los Angeles Chargers sort of still looking for their head coaches of the future. Which of those options, Junior, do you think is probably the most attractive, and who do you think is the candidate that can actually help find that destination?
I am sitting here now, Jhené, because the coach I'm going to mention has become one that everyone roots for in this. No one more so than his current head coach. Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy should have been a head coach last year and definitely is going to be a head coach this year. And I look and say, man, it is all lining up now for the Los Angeles Chargers to get to welcome in a guy who helped groom one of the best quarterbacks, the best quarterback in the league right now, in Patrick Mahomes, hand him Justin Herbert and a team full of talent, more talent on the roster than any of the rest of the teams we're talking about in these coaching vacancies. To me, that's the thing that I can sit here and hope for now. As Eric Bieniemy continues to march through the playoff, I hope what's waiting for him on the other side is this Chargers job, because the fit seems all too easy in this situation to say yes to.
And you know what really helps? The expectations. You know, the Texans have won their division more often than not as of late. The Eagles have the expectation. We saw how they handled that when it came to the NFC East. And the Detroit Lions, I absolve them from this argument. I think the Chargers, knowing that you have that young quarterback and a number of weapons and also defensive talent as well, having that comfort zone. But also, you know what I'm doing, right? You know where I'm going to go here. I'm sitting here in Los Angeles, where it's lovely. And, you know, it's funny because this year, I think it's been amazing to see how the sports world has really elevated because of the situation in which we're in right now. We have something to root for, whether it is NFL teams, the Lakers, the Dodgers coming off of championships. And if Eric Bieniemy were to go to the Chargers, I feel like that would be something that LA would absolutely adore.
And again, much like we talked about with the Jets and what we'd seen, because with a lot of these coordinator hires, remember we went through this rash a couple of years ago where you were getting coordinators, Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, these guys hired left and right coming off. And Matt LaFleur was not someone that had had a ton of experience at any one stop, a ton of time at any one stop. But because he had that proximity to some of the success we had seen from McVay, Shanahan, those guys, he goes up. Robert Saleh, what we've seen with Eric Bieniemy, these are coordinators whose names we've known who have been a part of these coaching cycles for the last couple of years now. And so they've built up a great amount of credibility based certainly on what they've done and been part of on the field, but also just being a part of that public discourse. So now teams are excited when they see these names. Jets fans should absolutely be excited. And you know Chargers fans will be doing cartwheels if Eric Bieniemy is standing there as their head coach when this is all said and done.
What's your close to, though, if we talked about the Texans and the Eagles and the Lions? Out of those, I mean, there's Cliff here on our show. That's Philly, Houston Texans, myself, no one from Detroit. What's your second best option?
Yeah, Chiney, this is where it gets really complicated in these teams. And I would still say, despite, again, Deshaun Watson, who maybe it's a coincidence, maybe it's not, tweeted out some lyrics referencing starting off at a two and now being at a 10, which just happened to coincide with what Adam Schefter reported last weekend, that his anger when they traded DeAndre Hopkins was at a 2 and is now at a 10 based on the recent things that have occurred in that organization. But I digress. That still, Chiney, seems to me like a spot that's going to be very, very appealing in some ways if you can convince Deshaun to stay. And if it's a coach that Deshaun has had a voice in talking about. We heard the same thing in a different way from Russell Wilson in Seattle. They fire Brian Schottenheimer, their offensive coordinator. And Russ said in their press conference, I want to play a role in who comes in here next. I want to make sure we're all on the same page with that. That's the way you should be doing business with your franchise. And hopefully Houston sits down and listens to Deshaun Watson, their franchise, and maybe gives them a crack at Eric Bieniemy before it's too late.
I have no problems with what you just said. 0-9.
Speaking into existence, Queen. But now we're really getting in that home stretch, because outside of that, where you've got a bona fide, Philadelphia, that roster is going to go through a lot of turnover right now. A lot of the key faces we saw after the game, Kelsey, Zach Ertz, and certainly Carson Wentz. What that situation looks like going forward is complicated. What do the Falcons do with Matt Ryan right now? Big number for him next year, but a team sitting there at 4th in the draft, certainly a lot to look into in that spot. And now you've got Detroit up there, Matthew Stafford's future in question. So I think we get into the more complicated rung of jobs once the Chargers job is off the board with everything left in this NFL coaching search. So again, Arthur Smith announced as the Falcons head coach by their Twitter account now, the Titans offensive coordinator, an offense that was second in yards per play when it came to play action passes this year, second in EPA per play overall this year, a dynamic offense now getting to ready to hopefully try and bring that back to Atlanta. So the Falcons don't have to deal with any more of those weird onside kick moments here. Now, Stephen A. Smith is going to go beyond the headlines and unlock a unique world of hot takes, one-of-a-kind segments, and can't-miss interviews. You can stream all this and more, the new show, Stephen A.'s World, exclusively on ESPN+. Just sign up now at ESPNplus.com. And while you're there, you get to watch us. Like, who knows? Maybe,
yes.
I'll do the Busset Challenge at the end of this show, and you can watch it on
maybe
ESPN+.
Maybe I will.
And listen, either one of us, it would be equally as entertaining either way on that. So
would
remember,
it really, though?
Chinay Ngolick Jr., 4 p.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio. You can check out the entire ESPN Radio lineup on ESPN Plus, in addition to Stephen A's World, Sports Nation, and so much great content on there. So make sure you check that out. But coming up next, we got two of the best to ever do it getting ready to go at it this weekend. Why one quarterback playing this weekend, we certainly call the GOAT. I've got an NBA comp for the other that we'll explore next. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're about 10 minutes away from one of our favorites stopping by. Big Swagoo, Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst. Keep us rolling along as we get towards the divisional round this weekend right now. Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. But, Chinay, it is time right now. We do have the next round of the playoffs rolling along in here. We previewed the AFC yesterday. We're going to get to the NFC today. So, Ryan, if you don't mind, we need to get the music to get in the mood here.
So before we start, can I put something into context how fun this is going into this weekend, Junior?
Absolutely, about the Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers matchup or the weekend overall?
Weekend overall before we dive back into the NFC. Right now, the number I'm looking for is the four AFC quarterbacks have an average age of 24.9, the youngest all-time quarterback group by a conference in the divisional playoffs. Three of the four quarterbacks in the AFC, those young guys, won their first playoff game this weekend. Now, the NFC four quarterbacks, which we're featuring today, including Jared Goff, who may start against the Packers due to Wolford, listed as day-to-day, they have an average age of 37.2, the oldest all-time quarterback group by a conference in the divisionals, which I think is fascinating. And last but not least, the NFC group has more Super Bowl rings, 8, than the AFC group has playoff wins, total 7. Great divide by age.
That's one of those things where, like, my dad always used to make the joke that him and Reggie White had, like, 211 half-career sacks. Reggie just happened to have 200 of them. Like, Tom Brady's got 6 of those Lombardis right now.
Like, but you compare that to the playoffs, like, they're counting in championships and they're counting in playoff wins that are total in single, like, you know, single digits, which is fascinating.
It is.
And in the playoff age, 24.9 compared to 37, like, that's wild.
We said, Chinay, that is such a great testament to the NFL's health going forward is what we're seeing on the AFC right now. Top picks at the quarterback spot panning out is always good for business in the NFL. And when you can have the best player in the sport, Patrick Mahomes, out there, that certainly always helps. But the big draw, Chinay, the Sunday nighter this week is going to be Saints and Buccaneers right now. And Tom Brady put out the meme, so we can call it the History Channel game, where he mentioned just how old these guys are. But I'm curious, Chinay, from your perspective on this, because Tom Brady looked at as the GOAT right now. The way we describe him, what's on the line, the pressure this weekend is Tom Brady has finally left the nest in New England. And I think people are looking and saying, all right, the Saints beat you guys and whooped up on you bad in the second one during the season. You've got to go out there and justify a lot, because Chinay, on the other side, I think Drew Brees is a made man going into this weekend. Drew, in a different category, much like to me, and this is my NBA comp for him, Steph Curry. Drew Brees is going to be looked at as maybe the most accurate quarterback, if not the most accurate quarterback in the history of the NFL. He's thrown for a ton of yards. Him and Tom Brady seesaw for some of those all-time records, but that one Lombardi is going to keep him out. Now, it's a tremendously impactful Lombardi, especially knowing what happened in New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina, all those things that Drew meant to that city. His legacy seems secure in a different place that's not going to be in that GOAT conversation with Tom Brady necessarily. And so I feel like all the pressure is on Tom's side this weekend.
I kind of like that comp. I would actually substitute it, but it might set the streets of LA on fire if I said there's another great that he could be. Because I think of Steph Curry, and you always compare to the Warriors and Patrick Mahomes, but the guy who was doing it first, like, especially when it comes with the accuracy, I think that's great. But looking at this matchup, Junior, it's hilarious because, you know, everyone looks at the box scores of the two games in which the Saints won, and the Saints had excellent success against Brady, forcing him to two of the worst games of the season according to QBR. He recorded a season low 5.6 QBR in week 9, and then his second worst with a 39.6 in week 1. So it seems like the Saints sort of have to walk in there saying, look, we can just keep doing what we did well before, but it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a season.
It is, Chinay, but at the same time, when you look at the way that it's come together for the Saints, because I think composition matters, this is a team that missed Michael Thompson without their best receiver, because for Drew Brees, this was a tough year. In addition to the injury, it was his lowest yards per game average in his NFL career right now, something around 245 yards a game. But they were missing Michael Thomas for damn near 10 games, the best receiver, the one who broke records for just catches in a year. Just Dak now. This team getting whole at the right time, an absolute nightmare in the red zone because of Kamara and because of Taysom Hill in this spot. Tom Brady, meanwhile, on the other side, has thrown 12 interceptions this season. Five of them have come in his two games against the Saints. So this Saints defense certainly knows how to handle Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, in this spot. So we'll give our picks later on this one, Chinee, but this is certainly, I think, the matchup everyone circled this weekend for good reason with these two all-timers. But I think the pressure squarely on Tom Brady, who we're always going to expect a little more from, because now we got that split with him and Belichick, and we're grading every single time they step out there. No stage as big as this one yet.
I should call myself Elias in this segment because all the nuggets of this deliver, and it's great. And I feel like I say that and I get nervous that I'm going to have to dump button, but it's all good. The first time in NFL history that the top two career leaders in touchdown passes meet in the playoffs. So I'm excited. This is one of those where were you when, right, type of matchups. Where were you when you saw these greats finally face off, or likely, potentially, based on what we've heard from Drew Brees and, you know, the conversations there the last time. So your girl is excited. I'm here. You know, it's hard to bet against Brady, but it's sort of, you point to the numbers and the evidence, and the Saints at least can go in walking and saying, we have a rubric, we have a pattern, we know exactly what we need to do to be able to move forward.
And we will see if they do. We'll see if they know and can go out there and execute in that. We'll check in and see if our next guest agrees. We'll talk to someone who played in the NFL during both of these historic careers that we've seen at quarterback right now, who he gives the edge to based on what we saw on Wild Card Weekend. We'll do that next after this word from DraftKings.
Football, basketball, hockey, so much going on. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is here to put you in the center of all the action with millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs all week long. Simply pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and use code CJR. For a limited time, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's code CJR, only at DraftKings. Make it rain, baby. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. A voice that knows what that matchup means in the NFC when it comes to the greats. Back after this, it's Chinee Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chinee Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes. Give you the biggest lesson we can take away from this week in sports, because we've had a lot of movement, we've had a lot of hires. And I think overall, there's one message that we need to keep saying loud and clear for the team still hanging out there in the ether. It's Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Ogwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests like our good friend Marcus Spears join us on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN NFL analyst, longtime NFL defensive lineman, hanging out with us now. Marcus, what's going on, brother?
What's up, MG Jr. and Chinee? How y'all living?
We're doing great. Good, man. We can't complain. We're getting ready like you are for the division round this weekend. I know you guys over on NFL Live have been fired up for this one, Marcus. And so I'm curious. We were just talking about the matchup of the old heads here. We got Brees and Brady, certainly going to be a highlight on the weekend right now. These are guys who, during your time in the league, you saw at some of their best football. So I'm curious, going into this matchup, who's the team you think has the edge walking into this one right now?
Yeah, I picked the Bucs, man, because just conventional history tells me you're not going to beat Tom Brady three times. And the Bucs seem to have figured out who they are from an offensive standpoint, and we've been watching it transpire over probably the last month and a half where you see that success. And two, y'all remember, like, Tom Brady has five total interceptions in two meetings between Tampa and New Orleans. Obviously, first game of the season, trying to figure each other out, trying to understand what they want to do from an offensive standpoint. And then in that second game, it was just a total manhandle by the Saints front and defensive line. Well, Tampa seems to have fixed protection. No better litmus test than what they were able to do against the Washington football team, even though they gave up two sacks to DeRon Payne in the middle, which is a level of concern. But this team is different. Antonio Brown is starting to ascend, looks more comfortable. And Brady just has it's more confidence. It's more, number one, more protection, obviously. And then just the confidence in who he's going to, where guys are going to be, and just understanding that rapport has been being built throughout the season. So I get an edge to TB12, man, and that's not to say that this game could go any way. I just, man, if somebody was asking me to bet would Tom Brady lose 3 times in a season to the same team, I'd always probably bet no.
Same. Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst here with us on Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And before we get back to the NFC, because the Rams and the Packers are really fascinating, strength on strength, I want to check in on the AFC really quick because, you know, it's funny. A lot of people are talking about the Browns now because they've been able to get that playoff win, you know, but it's going up against the Chiefs. I feel like that's the biggest underdog, but if their running backs are able to perform, I feel like they have a chance. Do you think that there's a real chance for the Browns to take it against the Chiefs?
It's always a chance in football, Chenea, you know what I'm saying? But it's going to take more than Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb being good. And look, I understand the narrative. I think it's just an easy narrative to put out there. Like the Browns run the ball successfully, they'll beat Kansas City. But nobody ever says, what the hell Kansas City going to see that they ain't seen yet? Like the Browns aren't going to do anything that the Kansas City Chiefs haven't seen. The only loss they have on the season, the team put up 40. A team had to score 40 to beat them. And that was considered to be a bad game. Everybody talks about the concern with the Chiefs in these low-scoring games. Well, in low-scoring games, you know what defenses have to do? They have to play well. So, look, I think Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and this offensive line and Stefanski play calling will obviously be an issue for the Kansas City Chiefs. But last year, Derrick Henry was supposed to be an issue. They gave up 69 yards to him. We saw the San Francisco 49ers run through everybody on their way to the Super Bowl. Guess who they didn't run through? The Kansas City Chiefs. Like, I just got to give more validity to not only their championship pedigree, but to that defense, man. I mean, obviously we see situations where they give up plays, but what other team in the league don't we see those situations? I'm just not so quick to say that you're going to run into a stadium with the plan that you're just going to bludgeon the Kansas City Chiefs at the line of scrimmage and win the game. You ain't going to bludgeon Patrick Mahomes, even if you run into football successfully against them. The explosive plays and what we've seen Cleveland give up on the back end from a secondary standpoint, like I'm confident that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win, but to say it's impossible or impossible feat, no, but it's going to have to be the best performance we've ever seen from this Cleveland Browns team, and they've had some really good performances this year.
Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN NFL Live analyst Marcus Spears with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, Marcus, speaking of mashups at the line of scrimmage, I feel like the biggest and best one might be in the NFC. Green Bay and the Rams going at it, the number one offense against the number one defense. You spent 9 years in the NFL as a defensive lineman. What you've seen from this Rams front four this year, specifically Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd, 90 pressures between them, the most by any tandem in the league. From your perspective, what helps them work so well off of each other in a way that's allowed a guy like Leonard Floyd to be so successful coming over here?
Well, man, look, it's predicated on Aaron Donald, right? Like, I don't want to take anything away from the other really good players. You still have Michael Brockers, who's been a really good defensive lineman in this league. Joseph Day have stepped up for them at the nose spot and been really good. Fox has been a really good pass rusher in their four down situations, but they use Aaron Donald to free things up. There's alignments with Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd outside of the tackle to create one-on-one matchups for Aaron Donald. The line of scrimmage, obviously, for the Los Angeles Rams, they feel like if they can get teams into passing situations, the game is over. Well, the unfortunate part is this is a passing team, and Aaron Rodgers has seen it all, you know. Now, I do believe that this defense can make plays, but to be honest with you, MG Jr., I don't think that's the most important thing to this game. Can Jalen Ramsey take Devontae Adams out of this game is the most important factor to me. Or will it be one of those situations where Jalen Ramsey has a bad outing and Devontae Adams does what Devontae Adams does? Listen, he's one of the best route runners. He's a big physical body, so Jalen has all of the respect for Devontae Adams, but vice versa. Jalen is long, rangy, and hasn't given up much at all, if anything at all, during the season. They put him on Stephon Diggs against the Bills. Diggs ended up with 4 catches for 49 yards and no touchdowns. Josh Allen had to go away to Cole Beasley and Gabe Davis. So the matchup that I'm most excited about from a position versus position or a player versus player is Devontae Adams and Jalen Ramsey. And then we'll see if guys can uncover fast enough in order for this front four not to impact and take over this game. Darius Williams has been playing well at the other corner for the Los Angeles Rams. Look, Aaron Rodgers has his work cut out for him, but we've seen Aaron Rodgers have success when he's had his work cut out for him. It's a different animal. Number one defense in the league. You got a corner that could potentially take away your number one weapon. We'll see how Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers adjust. I usually am only excited about battles in the trenches. I don't know if I've been more excited about a matchup this year when it comes other than this one that we're about to get right now with Jalen Ramsey and Devontae Adams.
Incredible stuff there. A man who lived in the trenches, understanding and appreciate what's getting ready to happen on the perimeter in that game. No doubt about
it.
Marcus, we're really looking forward to this weekend, man. We appreciate you spending some time with us, and we'll keep talking to you and the rest of the great NFL Live crew as we get towards
Super Bowl
coming up.
All right, family. Y'all enjoy the weekend. Enjoy these games. And look, when football season over, I'm going to just come on to cut up. I ain't going to come on to talk no serious football. We're going to talk about why Deshaun Watson and James Harden left Houston when they got turkey leg cut down there. I don't know why you would want to leave.
And Frenchies, too, Marcus. And Frenchies, too.
Turkey leg and French.
I can say, listen, no one's going to break it down for you like Marcus Spears, who will be with us. We'll make good and damn sure all offseason. We appreciate you, Marcus.
All right, family, peace.
Check out Marcus and the rest of the NFL Live crew every day, 4 Eastern, here on ESPN.
Y'all don't know what Frenchies is, huh?
Nope, not even for a second. But it sounds great. And listen, if Marcus loves it, guess who's probably going to love it? Me. I am very
clear
on that. Of course I know Roscoe's.
Okay, good. All right.
Just making sure. I do know here. I also know that in addition to checking out what you want on NFL Live, you can also check out Sports Nation. We got it back. It is so fun to see those graphics back in here. Taylor Twellman, Ashley Brewer, and Trevor Scales doing a great job. Make sure you check that one out. Memorable plays, top 10 lists, great segments, even us stopping by from time to time on there to check in with all of them. So sign up at ESPNplus.com now. You can also watch us, Chenangle Jr., from 4 to 7 Eastern Monday through Friday, and the rest of the ESPN radio lineup when you download ESPN Plus. So check that out. But Chenay, coming up next, I need your help with this one right now. I need your singing prowess when it comes to James Harden and the Nets, because coming up, we've seen a lot happen this week, including what's gone on with
Harden and the Nets.
What that's taught us, the biggest takeaway from this week in sports, that the rest of the teams looking to make head coaching hires and big moves with their stars need to understand. We'll get to that next. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes. Give you the biggest lesson we can take away from this week in sports, because we've had a lot of movement, we've had a lot of hires, and I think overall there's one message that we need to keep saying loud and clear for the team still hanging out there in the ether. It's Chenay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chenay Igwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests like our good friend Marcus Spears join us on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN NFL analyst, longtime NFL defensive lineman hanging out with us now. Marcus, what's going on, brother?
What's up, MG Jr. and Chenay? How y'all living?
We're doing great, good, man. We can't complain. We're getting ready like you are for the division round this weekend. I know you guys over on NFL Live have been fired up for this one, Marcus. And so I'm curious. We were just talking about the matchup of the old heads here. We got Breeze and Brady, certainly going to be a highlight on the weekend right now. These are guys who, during your time in the league, you saw at some of their best football. So I'm curious, going into this matchup, who's the team you think has the edge walking into this one right now?
Yeah, I picked the Bucs, man, because just conventional history tells me you're not going to beat Tom Brady three times. And the Bucs seem to have figured out who they are from an offensive standpoint, and we've been watching it transpire over probably the last month and a half where you see that success. And two, y'all remember, like, Tom Brady has 5 total interceptions in 2 meetings between Tampa and New Orleans. Obviously, first game of the season, trying to figure each other out, trying to understand what they want to do from an offensive standpoint. And then in that second game, it was just a total manhandle by the Saints front and defensive line. Well, Tampa seems to have fixed protection. No better litmus test than what they were able to do against the Washington football team, even though they gave up two sacks to Deron Payne in the middle, which is a level of concern. But this team is different. Antonio Brown is starting to ascend, looks more comfortable. And Brady just has it's more confidence. It's more, number one, more protection, obviously. And then just the confidence in who he's going to, where guys are going to be, and just understanding that rapport has been being built throughout the season. So I get an edge to TB12, man, and that's not to say that this game could go any way. I just, man, if somebody was asking me to bet would Tom Brady lose three times in a season to the same team, I'd always probably bet no.
Same. Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst here with us on Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And before we get back to the NFC, because the Rams and the Packers are really fascinating, strength on strength, I want to check in on the AFC really quick because, you know, it's funny. A lot of people are talking about the Browns now because they've been able to get that playoff win, you know, but it's going up against the Chiefs. I feel like that's the biggest underdog, but if their running backs are able to perform, I feel like they have a chance. Do you think that there's a real chance for the Browns to take it against the Chiefs?
It's always a chance in football, Chenea, you know what I'm saying? But it's going to take more than Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb being good. And look, I understand the narrative. I think it's just an easy narrative to put out there, like the Browns run the ball successfully, they'll beat Kansas City. But nobody ever says, what the hell Kansas City going to see that they ain't seen yet? Like, the Browns aren't going to do anything that the Kansas City Chiefs haven't seen. The only loss they have on the season, the team put up 40. A team had to score 40 to beat them. And that was considered to be a bad game. Everybody talks about the concern with the Chiefs in these low-scoring games. Well, in low-scoring games, you know what defenses have to do? They have to play well. So, look, I think Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and this offensive line and Stefanski play calling will obviously be an issue for the Kansas City Chiefs. But last year, Derrick Henry was supposed to be an issue. They gave up 69 yards to him. We saw the San Francisco 49ers run through everybody on their way to the Super Bowl. Guess who they didn't run through? The Kansas City Chiefs. Like, I just got to give more validity to not only their championship pedigree, but to that defense, man. I mean, obviously we see situations where they give up plays, but what other team in the league don't we see those situations? I'm just not so quick to say that you're going to run into a stadium with the plan that you're just going to bludgeon the Kansas City Chiefs at the line of scrimmage and win the game. You ain't going to bludgeon Patrick Mahomes, even if you run into football successfully against them. The explosive plays and what we've seen Cleveland give up on the back end from a secondary standpoint, like, I'm confident that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win, but to say it's impossible or impossible feat, no, but it's going to have to be the best performance we've ever seen from this Cleveland Browns team, and they've had some really good performances this year.
Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN NFL Live analyst Marcus Spears with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, Marcus, speaking of mashups at the line of scrimmage, I feel like the biggest and best one might be in the NFC. Green Bay and the Rams going at it, the number one offense against the number one defense. You spent 9 years in the NFL as a defensive lineman. What you've seen from this Rams front four this year, specifically Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd, 90 pressures between them, the most by any tandem in the league. From your perspective, what helps them work so well off of each other in a way that's allowed a guy like Leonard Floyd to be so successful coming over here?
Well, man, look, it's predicated on Aaron Donald, right? Like, I don't want to take anything away from the other really good players. You still have Michael Brockers, who's been a really good defensive lineman in this league. Joseph Day have stepped up for them at the nose spot and been really good. Fox has been a really good pass rusher in their four-down situations. But they use Aaron Donald to free things up. There's alignments with Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd outside of the tackle to create one-on-one matchups for Aaron Donald. The line of scrimmage, obviously, for the Los Angeles Rams, they feel like if they can get teams into passing situations, the game is over. What the unfortunate part is, this is a passing team, and Aaron Rodgers has seen it all, you know. Now, I do believe that this defense can make plays, but to be honest with you, MG Jr., I don't think that's the most important thing to this game. Can Jalen Ramsey take Devontae Adams out of this game is the most important factor to me. Or will it be one of those situations where Jalen Ramsey has a bad outing and Devontae Adams does what Devontae Adams does? Listen, he's one of the best route runners. He's a big physical body, so Jalen has all of the respect for Devontae Adams, but vice versa. Jalen is long, rangy, and hasn't given up much at all, if anything at all, during the season. They put him on Stephon Diggs against the Bills. Diggs ended up with 4 catches for 49 yards and no touchdowns. Josh Allen had to go away to Cole Beasley and Gabe Davis. So the matchup that I'm most excited about from a position versus position or a player versus player is Devontae Adams and Jalen Ramsey. And then we'll see if guys can uncover fast enough in order for this front four not to impact and take over this game. Darius Williams has been playing well at the other corner for the Los Angeles Rams. Look, Aaron Rodgers has his work cut out for him, but we've seen Aaron Rodgers have success when he's had his work cut out for him. It's a different animal. Number one defense in the league, you got a corner that could potentially take away your number one weapon. We'll see how Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers adjust. I usually am only excited about battles in the trenches. I don't know if I've been more excited about a matchup this year when it comes other than this one that we're about to get right now with Jalen Ramsey and Devontae Adams.
Incredible stuff there. A man who lived in the trenches, understanding and appreciate what's getting ready to happen on the perimeter in that game. No doubt about
it.
Marcus, we're really looking forward to this weekend, man. We appreciate you spending some time with us, and we'll keep talking to you and the rest of the great NFL Live crew as we get towards Super Bowl coming up.
All right, family, y'all enjoy the weekend, enjoy these games, and look, when football season over, I'm going to just come on to cut up. I ain't going to come on to talk no serious football. We're going to talk about why Deshaun Watson and James Harden left Houston when they got turkey leg hurt down there. I don't know why you would want to leave.
And Frenchies too, Marcus. And Frenchies too.
I can say, listen, no one's going to break it down for you like Marcus Spears, who will be with us. We'll make good and damn sure all offseason. We appreciate you, Marcus.
All right, family, peace.
Check out Marcus and the rest of the NFL Live crew every day for Eastern here on ESPN.
Y'all don't know what Frenchies is, huh?
Nope, not even for a second. But it sounds great. I mean, listen, if Marcus loves it, guess who's probably going to love it? Me. I am very
clear
on that. Of course I know Roscoe's.
Okay, good. All right.
Much I do know here. I also know that in addition to checking out what you want on NFL Live, you can also check out Sports Nation. We got it back. It is so fun to see those graphics back in here. Taylor Twellman, Ashley Brewer, and Trevor Scales doing a great job. Make sure you check that one out. Memorable plays, top 10 lists, great segments, even us stopping by from time to time on there to check in with all of them. So sign up at ESPNplus.com now. You can also watch us, Chanae and Gola Jr., from 4 to 7 Eastern Monday through Friday, and the rest of the ESPN radio lineup when you download ESPN Plus. So check that out. But Chanae, coming up next, I need your help with this one right now. I need your singing prowess when it comes to James Harden and the Nets, because coming up, we've seen a lot happen this week, including what's gone on with
Harden and the Nets.
What that's taught us, the biggest takeaway from this week in sports, that the rest of the teams looking to make head coaching hires and big moves with their stars need to understand. We'll get to that next. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chanae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.